From the website The Sweetest Way, it's Leah Davis.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
Leah describes herself as a former long-term traveler turned location-independent lifestyle advocate. After years of wandering without a clear path or purpose, she's discovered her sweetest way of living. Now, she wants to help others do the same. So, in this episode, we chat some travel stories and adventure stories and the importance of getting started, you know, making that commitment to get started instead of keep talking about it. So, I'm not going to keep talking about it. We'll get right into the interview. Thank you guys, as always, for listening to the show. And I would love for you guys to check out the brand new updated BetweenDreamsClothing.com. The site has been converted completely over to a whole new thing. It's a blog that when you land on the site, it's a blog with all new content on it, inspirational, motivational videos and blog posts and stuff that will get you pumped up. So check that out, BetweenDreamsClothing.com. We're going to get right into it. Here's the interview, Leah Davis, TheSweetestWay.com. Enjoy. Thank you.
Well, I feel like I should start from the beginning because it's kind of a long story to get to where I am now. But I sort of always wanted to travel. That was always like part of the dream. So like a long time ago, just after I got out of college, a couple of years after anyway, I decided to move overseas. Did some, I taught English in Thailand for about a year and a half and got to do some traveling during that time. After that, you know, I wanted to go to other parts of the world. So I went to South America, ended up kind of realizing that teaching, it wasn't really my jam. I didn't want to do that again. But at the same time, I also didn't want to like be in any one particular place for a long time. You know, like the idea of signing a long-term contract just really gave me the heebie-jeebies. So, at that point I kind of realized like, okay, I need to figure out some other way to make this work, to continue traveling, but still supporting myself at the same time. And I guess somewhat serendipitously, I happened to meet a travel blogger while I was in Peru who sort of like introduced me to this idea of location independence and the fact that, you know, she was doing it. She was working, I think she was doing like graphic design at the time while monetizing her blog. It was like so eye-opening to me. I was like, oh my gosh, there are people doing this. And so that was kind of the turning point for me. And I realized like, okay, I'm going to start to build something like this for myself. And I guess that was almost two and a half years ago that I met her. And ever since then, I've been building my own blog and my own business online so that I can travel. And it's kind of been slowly growing from there and never really expected it to take some of the turns that it has taken. But now I have my own blog. It's called The Sweetest Way. And after I kind of started out as a travel blogger, but I've moved away from that a little bit. And I'm sort of at this point trying to help other people build this location independent lifestyle, which is what kind of like the guidance that I never had in the beginning.
Yeah.
So that's where we are now. And that's the plan. That's the goal moving forward, is to just help other people do kind of what I'm doing.
Cool. And you just mentioned kind of the guidance that you never had. And, that's interesting in that, and when you met, someone who kind of gave you this idea, and it wasn't that long ago. You know, I talked to some people who started blogs, you know, 15 years ago before anyone knew what it was.
Right.
And had this huge advantage of just being one of the first people to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really powerful, which is something interesting about if you have only started in the past couple years, you had the, I'll say, disadvantage of that it was a noisy environment and a lot of other things to get through. So what I'm curious about is what tools did you have in your, you know, in your experience to get started? Had you thought about doing blogging before, or was it just kind of like figure it out as we go, like try one thing? And like, what was that like first, that initial journey? Because I know it's hard for most people to, it's easy for people to say, oh, I want to start a travel blog, or I want to start whatever, a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But then after like they do two things and realize that it's hard, they stop.
Yeah. I definitely fell into the camp of like, let's just start it and see how it goes. Like I didn't have a plan. at all. And that was my big disadvantage, like you say, because I didn't, let's see, I guess like I wanted to write. I like writing. That's what always been one of my strengths. And so I did it for the love of it, you know, just in the beginning, I just wanted to write. But what I never considered, and this was so stupid, is because I did want to use it as a tool to get to, you know, to build this lifestyle around. I never thought about how I would create a business out of it. And so I never bothered to learn anything about business. I studied sciences in a school. And so business and marketing and all that stuff that I'm trying to catch up on now, like, were so foreign to me in the beginning. And so it was a really steep learning curve to actually turn it into something that could be profitable. And I guess, like, what, I don't know, starting it as a travel blog nowadays would probably be a really poor choice, because like you said, it's a very saturated market. And there's not, it's not as easy, I don't think, to turn a travel blog into a profitable business. There are only a handful of ways I think you can go about that. If you sort of come at it from a different angle, like how to help people, that's what I've been aiming to do now. And like, instead of just writing about the things that I'm doing that I think are fun, I'm writing from the perspective of like, how can I help my readers achieve a goal? How can I help them solve a problem? And with travel blogging, you don't really do that so much. You know, you write like, okay, go, if you're going to this destination, see X, Y, and Z, but you know, you can find that information anywhere. So you're not exactly solving a problem that no one else is solving.
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't have a plan. I really wish I'd had a plan. So I'm actually at this stage, I'm writing an ebook, which is what I'm hoping will be that guidance. Like, for anybody who wants to do what I'm doing, they'll have sort of a step-by-step path to follow that I didn't have. So
yeah, that's cool. And I think there's a bit of a balance there. It's obviously great to have the guidance, and that resource that you're creating will be a great tool for people. But then on the other side, I'm kind of on this thing of like, sometimes it's an advantage to not have a clue what you're doing, because you don't know all the challenges that you're going to go. You just jump in and then kind of create something new for yourself.
Yeah, I can see how that can be an advantage if, you know, you don't necessarily follow what other people are doing. Yeah. That's an easy, easy trap to fall into, is you kind of see what the successful people are doing, and without really taking into account like, oh, maybe they have been doing this for 10 years and they had that advantage of, you know, primacy, instead of like, is what they're doing actually the best course of action? You know, like people do come into the industry nowadays and just kind of follow what other people are doing because they've had success with it, without really stopping to question whether it's the best way. So yeah, I can see how just diving in blindly would give you certain advantages, but
and I didn't mean that to take away from the work that you're doing to helping people.
Yeah,
Like I said, there's a balance there of,
yeah.
I see, you know, there's people who follow, you know, for me, I'm in the podcast world, and there's these like podcast guides and stuff. And I've done so many podcasts that are exactly the same. And it's just, I know what ebook they read and didn't add anything of their own to this, you know, this guy who said, this is the way that you do it. So, I think for me, that's what it is. Like, take all these tools and things that are out there, but it's important for people to add their own style, and you know, you're allowed to break rules.
Yeah.
Is the point that I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Definitely.
So when was the moment that you realized, through this kind of figuring things out and just jumping into things, what was the moment when you realized it was maybe a little bit something more than, or that it was working, and that it was going to be something more than, something that people were interested in, I guess.
There wasn't really one specific point, I don't think. It really has been a slog. You know, I think anyone who has started a blog knows how challenging it can be to build an audience, to get people to care about what you're saying. And for a long time, I didn't really have a cohesive message. So that was a big barrier for me. I was just writing about anything and everything, and it wasn't attracting the right kind of people. So maybe, I guess that was sort of a light bulb moment for me. Recently, in the last year or so, I realized that I needed to focus more specifically, more, you know, heavily on one topic. And I just rebranded my site actually not that long ago, maybe like a month and a half ago, in order to write, you know, more sort of like niche material on location independence, so that I was attracting the same, you know, the kind of people that I wanted in my circle. I kind of forgot the question now. Sorry.
No, that was good. The question was there a moment when you,
oh, I thought it was, yeah, felt like it was working.
Because there are some, you know, I think that's very true that there's a slow build, but for some people they do get lucky and have this one moment that clicks. And
yeah, I tried a number of different things before I got to before where I am now. You know, I have been working as a virtual assistant for another blogger, and so that ended up leading to a bunch of freelance work doing social media for other bloggers and brands. And for a while, I thought that was going to be my direction. I thought that was going to be where what I built my business around. And then I kind of got to this point where I didn't enjoy that nearly as much either. So again, I shifted direction. So it all kind of like, the path has not been a straight one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And I think, again, there's a cool thing in that for people who are listening and for me as well of like this balance of sometimes you hear people just talking about persistence and kind of powering through things. And I always have this thing against like this blind persistence, I kind of call it, of like, this is what I want, and I'm going to keep doing whatever I have to do to get it. Where what you just said, like, try something and then like test out this branch of the tree, and maybe that's where you want to go, but maybe you want to go the completely opposite direction.
Yeah.
So again, there's a balance of not being too like wish-washy about doing something different every day and kind of finding that, but like having the persistence to keep working, but open to other possibilities is so key. And I think a lot of people miss that.
Yeah, I agree for sure. I think it's important if you're doing something and it's not working, you're not like a failure if you decide to give up on that particular endeavor and go a different direction. I think that's smart in most cases because you can, if something's not working, you know, there's a good chance that maybe it just never will work or be the route that makes you the happiest or whatever. So yeah, I'm all for trying. I've tried so many different things. And if I had just stuck with something because it was working or maybe making me the most money, I might end up just like just as miserable as if I had never left, you know, a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. And balance that. Is there a moment in particular that or event that this type of persistence of just powering through it has actually paid off for you? to balance it back to the other side.
Yeah, I just blogging. I mean, there have been so many times. I mean, in probably like once every third day, I've thought to myself, like, why am I doing this? Why am I still blogging? Because there are times when you think like this isn't going anywhere, and it's not. You know, I'm not making any progress. I don't know what the next step is. But had I given up on all that, you know, I think I would have, it's almost like every time I think about giving up, I'm just moments away from achieving like kind of my next goal. So, that I'm really happy that I've persisted with blogging, even though a lot of times I had no idea where it was going or what was going to come of it. So that was blind faith, I think, but also, I mean, not just faith in trying to make it work. I do actually have like a passion for it, which I think is what kept me going the whole time.
Yeah. And that keep going is good in those times of, seems very common of those moments, like you just said, like that moment when you feel like giving up or something is so often that the moment just before something is going to click. And there's so many cliche quotes and things about that, you know, I don't want to go too deep into it, but I think it's so true of like that thing of you're just like, you've put so much effort in and it's just building up, you know, it's like the rain cloud is building and it's hard to see it sometimes when we're in that moment, but it's important for all of us to remember that, you know, that, the rain cloud, that's a good way to describe it. That rain cloud is building and it's going to start raining soon. So just a little bit, it might only need one more drop of you to put into it. And then it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
Do you have a cool story or experience from traveling? Kind of the way I would put it is like something that happened because you decided to take these steps and get out of what a lot of people would call a comfort zone. Is there one or two stories that you can share that might motivate people to get out and try something?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many stories and I'm just trying to pick the best one right now. A lot of these end up on my blog because I do kind of like to share the human side of travel. You know, as much as I love talking about a destination, I think it's really the people that make it so interesting and worthwhile. But not all of those stories make it onto the blog. One in particular that I recall from last summer, which I did end up writing about because it was such a sort of a profound experience for me, was I was traveling by myself in Eastern Europe in the Balkans. And I didn't really have much of a plan. I just knew I had to get up to Poland. And so I was just sort of moving in a general direction, but I didn't have a route. And I got an email one morning from a guy who had found my blog. He was researching South America or something and saw that I was in Serbia at the time and emailed me saying his brother-in-law lived in a city nearby. He's like, he's, you know, this American guy, you know, we have Serbian heritage. He's there, you know, studying the language and writing a book. I know he would love to meet another American. You should get in touch with him. And I was like, right, well, this is strange. Like, I don't know. The guy was really nice. There was nothing like offensive about it or, you know, didn't seem creepy. But I was still like, you know, I'm a solo traveler. Like, maybe I should just kind of let this fall by the wayside. And so I think before I even had a chance to respond, I got another email, a follow-up email from the guy who is living in Serbia. And he was like, hey, my brother-in-law told me that, you know, he told me about you and I think it would be really cool to meet you and all this stuff. And, I don't know, like what possessed me to like pursue it, but I ended up taking a little detour because I was pretty close to the border, but instead I went, you know, back south to this town where the guy was living. And he ended up letting me, you know, stay at their like family home for like 4 days, just played host to me for like no reason. I mean, like we were complete strangers before this and it showed me all around this town. He like took me to this cool little winery. I love wine and he found out I liked wine. So we set up this winery tour at this place where, I mean, the guy literally did not speak a word of English. So he and the guy were chatting in Serbian and it was such a cool experience. And then, yeah, I don't know. We just became like really, really good friends. And I had such a like authentic experience in this little town that I had literally never heard of that I never would have gone to otherwise. And it was, you know, it's not like I didn't have moments of doubt where I was like, ah, should I really be doing this? Like, what if this guy turns out to be a, you know, an axe murderer? But of course he didn't. And it was a really incredible experience and one that I never would have had I just put my walls up and worried that the world was out to get me.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. You know, it kind of reinforced the idea for me that people in general are good and they don't mean to, you know, they don't mean you any harm and that, you know, it's okay every once in a while to put your trust in a perfect stranger.
Yeah. That's great. That's a nice story. And I was kind of leading into the next thing I was going to bring up, which I think could have been answered in what you just you just told was A big part of my mission is to get people to jump in and take that first step, because I know a lot of people have ideas or goals or things that they're thinking about. And really the hardest part about this whole process is taking that first step and making it happen. You know, however big or small that first step is, that's the most important and, as I said, often the most challenging. And that was something that in that story that you just told, it was like you did it, even though you had some hesitations, but you did it and made it happen. So I'll leave it. I know you just talked about that, but do you have any other kind of relevant things to that idea of that might help people if so say someone's sitting home and has this idea, like I said, if they want to start a blog or a YouTube channel or a podcast or something, but they're just sitting on the idea. Do you have any words or a story for them to make it happen instead of thinking about it?
Yeah. I think regardless of whatever it is that you want to achieve, whether it's, you know, taking a trip somewhere or starting a business or a blog or whatever, I think one really good way to get over that initial fear is to make some sort of small commitment to the thing that you want to do. You know, for example, if you're starting a blog, you know, buy your domain name, put that, you know, initial small amount of money into it so that, you know, it kind of motivates you to take the next step, you know, because you've already, now I've already invested this little bit of money, so I might as well just, you know, continue on with it. If it's something like travel, even if you're not, you know, financially ready, you don't have the savings or whatever, plan, you know, buy a ticket like a year from now so that you have that, you're committed to going and you have all this time to sort of mentally prepare and financially prepare or whatever. I've used that sort of little strategy in a lot of the things that I do. Like when writing this ebook of mine, I knew I'm a big procrastinator and I knew that if I didn't give myself a deadline, I wouldn't do it. So not only did I set the deadline for myself, but I announced it publicly. I was like, okay, everybody's going to know. So that's kind of like my accountability. They're all going to know that I'm planning to do this. And so if I don't do it, I'm not only letting myself down, I'm letting everybody else down too. So you just, you know, taking that little step to like commit to something is a good way to sort of surmount that initial fear, I think.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. There's something in that valuable thing. I think social media kind of helps that as well. There's some things that I think all of us don't like about the social media world right now. But there's also something in that. For me, it's like, same thing I'll say, or I'll post something or do something. And I did the same thing with like this show that I'm creating. I like have the domain name. I created like artwork for it and like posted a thing like this, basically like a poster for the show. It's like my new show is coming. It's like I like paid some guy to design the logo and all this stuff. And people are like, oh, I can't wait. Like when is it going to be happening? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there is no show yet. Like, it's like I needed to do that to start building the show, and I needed to make that real.
Yeah.
To kind of tell myself that it's real. And mm-hmm. So that was what I, you know, the same thing. I just created all this stuff. And now it got it out into the world, and now it kind of is a little bit more real. It's still not done yet, but
definitely.
Everyone's listening, still waiting for it to happen. It'll happen soon. It's taking steps, but like those steps to make it feel real really do help, because especially if you get it out into the world and tell other people about it, because then other people are holding you accountable. They're like asking you about it, and like
exactly
make it, even if it's just to like keep other people happy that are asking you.
Yes.
Do you want to share any specifics? We talked about kind of like the more philosophy type stuff about all this stuff that you're doing. And do you want to share a couple, like a couple teaser things from what? So say I'm here and I have this idea that I want to. So I'll give you a specific. I'll give you a specific question for me personally, because this is cool. My listeners will know that I do a live theater show and I tour and do shows all over the place, and it keeps me pretty busy. But there's times when I have, you know, a week off or a few days off here and there. And something that I do is, so I got like good at editing videos because I edited like all my own promo videos and like a lot of my stuff for my show. And that allowed me to like kind of think about this way of presenting something in a video form. So I have been on my time off, I've been picking up some like freelance video editing jobs.
Cool.
And that's a really great thing because it's, if I have like a couple days off, I can squeeze something like that in. And there's something really great about like disconnecting from the world that I'm so immersed in, and kind of checking out. So my question is for me, and it would relate to people who are listening who have this, maybe like a side job or like side hustle that maybe they do have a regular job, but they also like taking photographs or they like editing video or they like, you know, managing a social media account or whatever it is that is this like, I guess, I don't really like this word, but like this non-conventional job career type thing. What's my next step as I'm wanting to do this? I want to get more video. You know, I want to say I want to get one, commit to like one video editing job or something a month, or get one new client a month or something. What's your tip for making that happen, making it a little bit more? Again, it goes back into the thing of instead of thinking about it, making it happen. So I know we kind of addressed it here.
Yeah.
I think we kind of, I think we did a little bit too like general things. So let's get specific.
Yeah. One thing I think a lot of freelancers struggle with, especially people who are just trying it out for the first time, is knowing how to market themselves and feeling comfortable with marketing themselves. Because it's, you know, especially creative types who have this, I don't know, that some sort of complex that, you know, maybe we're not as good as we think we are, or, you know, sort of like that imposter syndrome. So that can kind of get in the way of reaching the right clients and being confident to, you know, to reel them in sort of. One real, really practical step I think any freelancer could or should take to get more consistent, consistent jobs is to have a really strong online presence. You know, they need to have a website, some kind of portfolio where people can see all of their past work. I think it's also really important to have branded, you know, social media profiles on, you know, a page on Facebook that you're active on, where you're sort of building a community around the thing that you're doing. Instagram is really big for that right now too. Twitter, I think, is sort of falling by the wayside. I think if you got in early on Twitter, maybe you could have some success there. That's really not one that I pay a lot of attention to. But, you know, yeah, it's putting yourself out there regularly, making sure that, you know, your name and your services, what you're offering, are being seen by people. Because otherwise, how are people going to find you, you know? And then beyond that, you know, there are all sorts of places to list your, you know, sort of like digital marketplaces to list your services. So you can not only have a profile in all these different places, but you can actively search for jobs. So if you're really, you want to be more consistent, you know, being proactive and searching for those positions and applying for jobs that you think you're qualified for is the next sort of step to take, I think. But marketing yourself is the hard part. That's like a big hurdle for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll touch into one of those things about how you mentioned the imposter syndrome, which is real for everyone.
And yes.
I don't know if there's anyone who doesn't, maybe some like crazy people who don't feel that. And I don't like lingering on that, but I like to at least touch on that, that pretty much everyone I've ever talked to has that feeling at least some point in something that they're doing. You know, I was on podcast, people will know this, like I was on Entrepreneur on Fire with John Lee Dumas, and he talked about it himself. You know, he's like one of the top business podcasters and makes like, you know, millions of dollars a year. And he was talking about how when he goes out to speak, he's like, am I qualified for this? And he's like, you know, it's like completely insane to think that somebody like at his level has that feeling before they go out and do whatever it is that they're doing. So I think for me, it's like I said, I don't like to kind of stay in that moment for too long, but I like it. Think it's important for other people to hear that, like, everyone has that, and it's
normal. Yeah, you're not alone.
Yeah, and you just have to. So it's almost like who's qualified for anything, you
know? Right. Kind
of, if you want to be, you can kind of create what the world that you want to be.
Right. Well, and I always have thought that there's no such thing as a true expert, you know, like we're all, there's probably one person in the world at any given time who knows more on a certain topic than anyone else. But, you know, we don't know that necessarily. So you just have to be an expert, you know, relative to other people to consider yourself, you know, qualified to do what you're doing. I think that's important to remember that, like, no one really knows everything.
Cool. Yeah. And sometimes being an expert in something or being an expert relative is sometimes all that takes is being yourself and offering your viewpoint in what that is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is important too, for people to think about is sometimes your just being your view makes you know more about your view than anyone else does. So, and that's important to share.
Yeah, you bring something unique to the table that no one else can.
As my friend Colin Wright in a previous episode said, he talked about business. And again, he's smarter than I am, so he's better. But he said the unique value proposition is what makes you you. And no one can be a better you than you. So bring what you have, and sometimes that's enough.
Yeah, that's good. It sounds a little Dr. Seussy, but I like it.
Yeah, no one. There's a Dr. Seuss line that somebody actually texted when I posted that episode. Somebody sent me like a screenshot of the Dr. Seuss quote, which I don't know exactly what it is, so I won't do it. But Dr. Seuss had something. He knew something.
He was a smart man.
But cool. That's. Everything, there's great things that we've talked about in there. I will leave you a moment to, I think there was a few more questions that I had kind of in mind, but it would be really, you kind of hit on each question that you answered, you kind of hit on, you know, two or three of the questions that I was going to ask.
Okay.
But I'll leave you one last moment to wrap up, and like I said, I know you already addressed all this stuff, but a final wrap up, little summary, tips for someone who wants to get out and create something, whether it's like a non-conventional career like I talked about before, or just like do a little side hustle or whatever it is. What's your like wrap up tip for someone who wants to get out there and make something happen?
I would say, you know, we have more control over our lives than we often think we do. So if you want to change your circumstances, if you want to make more money on the side, if you want to travel more, if you want to, you know, have a more flexible work setup or whatever, all of those things are within the realm of possibility. I think, you know, we have so much control over our own circumstances. We just have to recognize that and sort of take an opportunity where we see it. And like I said before, you know, just make one small commitment, you know, take one step toward achieving your goal, and the rest will sort of snowball from there. I think that's the most important piece of advice I can offer.
Cool. That's great. And so your blog is at thesweetestway.com.
That's right.
And where else would you like to send people? I know you mentioned Instagram and things. Where else would you like to send people that want to see more about what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm on social media. My Facebook page is also The Sweetest Way. On Instagram, I'm also The Sweetest Way. Those are pretty much my favorite channels. You know, I'm active on Pinterest as well. Pinterest and Twitter, it's just Sweetest Way without the. Find me on any of those channels. I like to meet people, have conversations, and meet people that are doing cool things. So anyone is free to stop by and say hey at any time.
Cool. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
There it is. thank you, every one of you, for listening to this episode and all the episodes up until now. I really appreciate everyone who interacts with me and sends me messages after the episodes of what you've learned and questions. And it's just great to hear so many people that I've talked to have the same theme of the importance of getting started, which is, of course, the theme of everything that I do, including my book called Just Go. Get started. Take that first step, because you're never going to know what the next step is until you take that first step. So get started. And the great thing about people like Leah with her blog, The Sweetest Way, is that she's here to help. She's here to help people like you that want to get started. And it's the same, you know, if you have a question or you're not sure what that first step is, reach out to people like Leah. She opened up her, you know, we're on social media. She's available. Send her a message. I'm always available. Send me a message. Email me. Whatever you're working on, I'm willing to help. So whatever you're working on, get started, because the time's never going to be right. You need to see the time right now is right. So get started. Make it happen. And that's it. All right. Thanks for listening. This is the Chris Ruggiero Podcast. I'm Chris Ruggiero. I love every one of you who listen to the show, and I hope that your life is amazing, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.